That God is good. Man, I love to be in worship services, you know, all over the place, but just nobody worships like you guys on a Wednesday night. And I heard about last Wednesday, no power, nobody left. You all stayed and worshiped and sweating to the praise music. You know, that's not a bad idea. Instead of hot yoga, we could have hot praise in here. Drop some LBs. It's good to be back. I was in a conference in a church in California, 14 services in 5 days. It's good to be home. And I'm excited about what God has for us in these next couple of weeks here. I loved what Christian prayed. Lord, just do anything you want to. Do something spectacular, unusual. And because we are always, you've created inside of us, God creates inside of us this unreasonable expectation for the supernatural and for things we haven't even yet seen. And that expectation is not just a fanciful notion, it is a divine impregnance. It's a divine pregnancy of what God has breathed into the generation. Something's trying to manifest. And we want to be instruments of that work of grace. And I pray tonight that whatever you need and whatever you're going through, that you know Jesus is your healer. Jesus is your helper. He's your friend. He's with you. Somebody tonight is getting delivered from addiction. And I'm really glad you've come tonight. Somebody here tonight's been wrestling with a severe and intense depression. And tonight's your freedom night, your liberty night. And somebody here tonight has even had suicidal thoughts, but Jesus has a life for you. And it's no accident you're here. My title tonight is Kill It Before It Kills You. Help me preach tonight. Just turn to your neighbor and say, kill it before it kills you. So you wonder what we're talking about. We are talking about discouragement, killing discouragement with courage. First text tonight is Hebrews chapter 12. I want to congratulate Pastor Tyler and Samantha on the birth of Stella, their little girl. And I feel like this whole rest of the year for you, Tyler, is a birthing year, a breakout year, a year where God is putting into tangible evidence the things that have been in your heart. So get ready for all kinds of things to be born into your ministry, your destiny, your life, into your family. God's releasing all kinds of good things to happen. It's your time. It's your family's time. We honor and celebrate the birth of your child, and we're excited about what heaven's birthing in you and through you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, chapter 11's Hall of Faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily ensnare us. I'm going to have a little visual example of that sometime here in the weeks to come. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So inside of your capacity is the ability to make it through the race you're called to. And the only thing that can stop you is if you believe you can't do it. So discouragement is when the enemy has planted a seed of doubt and has told us that we're not going to see the outcome promised by God and the outcome the Holy Spirit's given to our hearts. But we can make it through this life and the purpose of God he has for us in this life. We can finish our race. Looking unto Jesus. So whenever I take my eyes off of Jesus, I'm going to see other things, and those other things are going to create a different consequence inside of my life. So discouragement comes by taking your eyes off of Jesus and looking at something else. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher. He's the originator, the beginner, and the completer of our faith. So all of us are in this narrative, this storybook of life. And the one that gave you life is the one that's going to walk you through your life and finish the purpose he created for your life. He's a good finisher who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit's agency of prophetic gifting is to give people a heavenly glimpse of future outcomes that create inside of them a joyfulness of pursuing the purpose of God for their life. So when God gives someone a vision and a dream and a prophetic kind of understanding of what is in their future, it creates inside of them a momentum, creates inside of them the desire, it motivates them to run. So Jesus was not running to run, he was running to accomplish something. The joy that was set before Jesus was kind of twofold. It was the affirmation of the Father, completing the Father's will. Secondly, it was you and I. On that inscribed on the trophy that he received are our names or our faces. We are the joy that he endured the cross for. Despite the shame, Jesus despised the shame. He had a greater power inside of him that ruled over shame and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's the verse. For consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility, King James Version says, contradiction from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So we live in a fallen world, an imperfect world, and there's all of us have ample causation to fall into the trap of discouragement if we are not watchful over our own souls and maintaining a spiritual diligence to not let something creep in there that will steal our joy, steal our purpose, and create inside of us the casualty of hopelessness, despair, or discouragement. Never make a decision when you're discouraged. You always will regret it. And never write a letter, never write an email, never go on Facebook. Just say, I shouldn't go on Facebook right now. I might post something that might not sound Christ-like. Just saying, that could happen. So Jesus refused to be discouraged even though he's perfect, he's sinless. So all of us have contradictions. So I had a contradiction this week when something was done wrong toward me in a public meeting. And so I had, in a few minutes in that meeting, I was going to be ministering. So I had to respond. And so I'm thinking there, my first thought was, I'm getting the hell out of here. And I thought, well, that's probably not the Holy Spirit. So I stayed and I said, you know what? The only part of me that's upset is just my ego and my pride that they hit me a little bit. And who cares about that? God doesn't. God might be trying to use that to bring in a little more Christ-like. So I looked inside. Why do I feel this way? Well, I was hurt by what they did, so I forgive them. I just went through the whole process, and I didn't know what happened. So a few minutes later, I was on the stage prophesying for an hour over world famous people, and the Holy Spirit moved. There was a notable miracle. All kinds of things happened. So that couldn't have happened if I wouldn't have conquered my little pity party or my discouragement or whatever. So we don't want to miss the potential of the moment we're in because we're still living in the discouragement of yesterday's disappointments. Everybody faces disappointment. Disappointments are unavoidable life realities, but discouragement is a choice. Okay, so discouragement is to say, okay, that I'm formating a theological or a philosophical internal conclusion that these negative things mean this, God doesn't love me, or this is not going to work out, or blah blah blah, and so discouragement is always the enemy's attempt to steal your destiny. Okay, great verse from the Bible. In Numbers chapter 20, this is going to really be a fun verse because this verse gives us such a beautiful portrait of what we go through and of God's answer and the redemptive work of Christ. We'll get into all that. Numbers 21, verse 4. As they, the children of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, the souls of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, King James Version says, because of the way. So they're in the desert, and they're going on a long journey, and it's hot, it is hard to travel, there's up to 2 million people. So, you know, think about the last trip you were complaining about. There's 2 million people and all of the calamity, all of the real life events. And so they're becoming discouraged because they're being rerouted and their expectation is different than the reality. So many times, you know, in 1985, I was on a 21-day fast. In January, the Lord said, move back to your hometown, Scottsdale, Arizona, start a church called the Eagle's Nest. I'm going to use you and bless you. And I said, yes, Lord. I told my wife, 2 weeks later, we moved here. That was it. God said, bam, I did it. But in my mind, because that's my hometown, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, all my homies waiting for me. That first Sunday, I probably can't get a big enough arena. Everybody, my high school friends, my grade school friends, my church friends that grew up with my in the church, my parents' pastor, all those people waiting for the hometown hero to come back, start a church. There, oh man, I was so excited. So my expectation created this portrait of what would happen. So I moved here and none of that happened. Nobody that knew me came. People that didn't know me came. And a little tiny group of them, you know, it was 30 people there, and then 50, and I'm thinking, this isn't my dream. You know, I thought it would happen different. See, if you're not careful, reality will create inside you a disappointment because you had an exaggerated expectation about how God would do something. So don't worry about the hows in life. Just keep trusting God. He's going to do it. Naaman the leper, the general of Syria, was coming to Elijah's house to get prayed for. And he brought this whole caravan of wealth and his entourage and just doing it the way he thought was right. He was a man of honor. And he comes to Elijah and he said, I'm here. He knocks on the door and Elijah sends his servant. Elijah can't even stop watching ESPN. He's over there. He's eating chips and salsa watching ESPN. And say, hey, go tell him to bathe in the river. The servant opens the door and says, the man of God said, go bathe in the river. And Nahum says, what? That's it? I thought he would at least greet me with a proper protocol. That he would come out and say, welcome to my house. Welcome to my country. We've heard of you. And they would wave his hand over me like Benny Hinn. And I would fall back. And the ushers would fall over. And there would be this exciting event. And the organ music would go up. And so he leaves in a rage, the Bible says, because he has come head on into reality versus expectations. And if we're not careful, we'll miss a miracle because it happens a different way than we expected it to. So finally his servant said, hey, you know, if he asked you for 1,000 other hard things, what did you do then? This is an easy thing. Go jump in the river. He does 7 times, gets his miracle, overcame disappointment, overcame being disillusioned, overcame every thought that would try to drive him away from his miracle. Okay, here we go. Their souls became discouraged because of the way. On the way, the word discouraged in the Hebrew is katsar, and katsar means, interesting word, it means to harvest grass or grain. To cut something down means to reap trouble, to vex, to mourn a grave. So its literal meaning is to cut down a harvest. Then its implied meaning is the harvest of discouragement when you're going through a tough time and you're allowing a weed to grow that is asserting its dominion over your thought life. So when you're allowing something, a greater presence inside of you, after a while it creates a harvest. So they're discouraged, next verse. The people spoke against God and against Moses. So they're murmuring And they're complaining, saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water. Our souls loathe this worthless bread, this manna." Okay? So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us." Now just talk about this for a minute. So often in the Old Testament, the Bible would say God did something, but here's how we know it actually occurred, because we can look at things through the theological broad definitions of New Testament realities. So we know that when God takes his hand off of us, we're vulnerable. That the only reason the devil can't get at you is because God's got you. And so they're murmuring against Moses and God. God just steps back, and all of a sudden, all of the enemies now that couldn't get at them before, can get, the serpents come. So a couple of things. So many of the battles we face began by words we said that were in disharmony with God, that empowered the enemy to hurt us or our family. So they said things and serpents came. They said things, and we would say, New Testament, they empowered the agency of the enemy to bring an assault of poisonous venom. So discouragement is, it can't flourish until you give voice to it. But once you give voice to it, you've got so many examples. I'll give you the example you're sick of. Anyways, 20 years ago, I'd driven my son Matt to a game in Maricopa, basketball game, and we parked there in their high school in the city, and I came out after church, and someone had stolen my Honda minivan. And so I'm in shock, because it was a nice car, but it wasn't a luxury car. It was old. It had been, I'd been hauling teenagers around in it for 3 or 4 years. And so my first thought is, who in their right mind would steal? And this literally was true. There's a Lexus on one side, a Mercedes on the other side, empty space where my Honda minivan was. I'm thinking, what kind of criminal, who goes around the Lexus, who avoids the Mercedes and steals the Honda? Now, I think it had something to do with the ease that you could steal one back then. But what happened was, so my first thought was, I knew the devil had crossed a line in my life. And so I'm thinking, hello? Mikey here. Where's my protection? And I said, how come my car was taken? He said, just like he was standing next to me. He said, because yours was the only car cursed in the parking lot. On the way to church, I had been sitting in the front seat. The kids were on the back having a good time. I spent the whole day with a cadre of attorneys. It was all bad news. It was all intense stuff. One negative thing after another. And so I said out loud on the way to that game, the kids couldn't hear me, I just breathed under my breath, I said, I feel like I'm cursed. So, come there, my car is stolen, I get snake bit. I'm snake bit because discouragement gained control of my words. Y'all here? This is the big thing. Because you can defeat the devil when you can control your tongue. See, here's what Joel says. Let the weak say, I am strong. Well, Pastor, that's not being honest. No. That's adding an antidote, a heavenly antidote into your natural world. Anybody can see what the problem is. Prophetic people see what God wants to do, okay? So anybody can see what's wrong. Prophetic people see how to make it right, okay? That's a big deal, because God wants you to be a solution-oriented kingdom citizen when you say things that contribute to a heavenly outcome and not towards snakes. So if you're not careful, especially this political climate, just throw you into a snake pit. And everybody feels released to say things they wouldn't normally say. Just have all your political opinions. Just always remind yourself you belong to a different country. Your citizenship is in heaven. And I appreciate the passion of people, but I don't appreciate people acting unchristian. Okay. So they complain and serpents come. So these serpents, they're so powerful, they're poisonous, and they're dying. So not everybody's dying, but they're all getting sick, they're being bit, and they're being overrun by serpents. So they're reaping a harvest of poison because they sowed a field of negative words. And so they said, Moses, do something. And Moses appealed to God. Verse says, Moses said to God, please help us, Lord. Help the people. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 8, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. So it was, if the serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, so let's dig down a little bit, okay? Later on in Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. Watch over your soul and make sure a root of bitterness does not spring up and create a harvest of destruction, defiling everything in your world. Watch over what's planted deep inside of you. See, when hurts aren't healed, people become bitter. Brokenness that is unhealed leads to bitterness being revealed. And what happens, by the time we become bitter, then our words are now associated with this. We become cynical or judgmental or critical or sharp or hurtful. None of those things are Christ-like. And so we have to, it's interesting because someone was watching my behavior this week and they said, man, you know, how come you didn't do something? I said, well, because Jesus wouldn't want me to do that. Now, Mike Maiden would want me to do that, defend my ego or my honor, whatever, but Jesus wouldn't want that. It's a chance to grow closer to Jesus when people mess with you, a chance to forgive them, a chance to go deeper in your roots in a healthy way. So what we want to do, so what happens when a person's chronically angry, chronically upset, chronically cynical or judgmental or hypercritical or chronically sad, it's a person that's been bitten. And so it looks like we'd be in trouble, except God always has an answer. And so God told Moses, make a bronze serpent of the very thing that's bit you. And if you raise that up, whoever looks at that serpent, the poison will leave their body. Now, this is a big deal because Jesus himself quotes this story in the book of John. We're going to get through this in a minute. But here's what God said. I'm going to heal this thing that's hurting and broken in you, so that you don't have to live your whole life with toxic, unhealthy, emotional conditions. You can be sweet as apple pie, even though you've been through the Great Tribulation. Okay? You can be kind, even though you've been through difficult things, because you're looking. And so what happened was God took the bite that was on them and put it on the bronze serpent. So God became that thing to deliver them from that thing. So they lifted up the serpent and everyone lived that was bitten because God gave them an answer. Now here's what Christ said. This is beautiful. In John chapter 3, Jesus is, he quotes this exact story in a beautiful way. Verse 14 of John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. So Jesus on the cross, listen to me, took the venom of discouragement. He took the poisonous emotional toxicity of being disillusioned, disappointed, depressed. God put it on him. He was lifted up. He that knew no sin was made to become sin that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So God put all my unhealthy stuff on Jesus so I could be healthy. So health for the Christian is not circumstantial, it's choice. Why? He purchased it for me. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, it's righteousness, right thinking, believing, speaking, peace, and joy. It's being happy, it's being restful, it's having a proper identity. And so what happens is, if we're not careful, we give a license to our behavior, excuse it as if God can't do something about it. But we're killing it before it kills us. Tell your neighbor, kill it before it kills you. Tell them that. So Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up that serpent. So I just want to say to you, in the name of Jesus, discouragement can't have you. It cannot have you. And no matter how many things are piling on and how many bad things are happening, I declare a new season's begun in your life. God's going to show off outrageous ways. And if you give God a chance, he'll show you how he can make your heart new. He'll give it your innocence back, your joy back, your rest, your peace, your love back. He'll give you expectation back. You'll start dreaming again without being restricted by previous disappointments. You'll not allow discouragement to keep you very long. Everybody faces discouragement, but don't let it have you. In Isaiah 53, this is the great messianic chapter of Jesus. What he's done for us, here's a couple of verses. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Next line is what I'm preaching about. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. So Christ is, he's not even at the cross yet. He's before the Romans. He's being scourged. They take a crown of thorns. They press it into his skull so that it penetrates bones. Or he's wearing, his head is bleeding profusely. He's wearing this crown of thorns. And here's what the Lord told me to tell you. Everything that's a thorn in your mind, everything that's pierced your mind in pain or discouragement, Jesus Christ bore the consequence of that. He bore all mental disease. He bore depression. I'm an ex-depressed person. I'm healed. That's my story. Michael Maiden, clinically, manically depressed, free. For almost 20 years now, free, because Christ bore it for me. The punishment of my peace. So anything that would try to take my peace and create anxiety, stress, the disorders of mental afflictions, discouragement, depression, Christ took that. He was lifted up as a bronze snake. He took that for me. Can you believe that? How good is that? That we only, not only did Christ die to take us to heaven, he died to bring heaven to us. He died to open the riches of heaven's inheritance and just pour, lavish you with love and joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control, lavishing you with his loving kindness, his favor, his goodness, every moment of your life. Psalm 103 says, he crowns us with loving kindness, tender mercy. What does that mean? He makes my mind be constantly aware of God's loving kindness to me, so that my thoughts come in tune, my thoughts come into alignment and agreement with how God really thinks about me. He's not mad at me. He's not angry at me. Amen. Even though, God forgive me, I went a little fast on the way here. I was got a phone call. I was running late. I said, Lord, I'm speeding. Don't watch. Don't let me get, no, I really prayed. I said, Lord, don't let me get a ticket. How pathetic is that, you know? Officer, I'm late for church. Y'all with me? The anointing didn't lift off of me. Oh, gosh. Pastor sped. The anointing's gone. No. So Jesus, his head crushed. Oh, can you imagine? It's just horrific scene. I was going to put a picture of it. Just too violent. It's crushed into his head. The punishment of my peace was upon Jesus. So there's nothing you'll ever go through stronger than the grace Christ died to make available to you, to give you peace and rest and love and joy, to give you the freedom from discouragement, from the being defeated, but from being negative. Well, that's just my personality. Well, your personalities change. If you're negative all the time, and we can be predisposed to different things, but in the kingdom, God makes us like Jesus. Pretty positive fellow. Okay, so Jesus did that for us so I can have freedom. Amen. He was lifted up. He was lifted up. God took my depression, put it on Jesus. He took all mental illness, put it on Jesus. By his stripes were healed. He took every imaginable. He took the Zika virus. There's nothing that will hit this planet that God wasn't ready for. Y'all with me? So don't let the devil tell you you're an exception. Well, people, man, I went through some really intense things, I'm so sorry you went through those things, but Jesus is big enough to heal you. His grace is strong enough to free you. His love, unfailing love, is big enough to help you and heal you and make you new. Okay, one more scripture from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. So Joshua, the book of Joshua. So 30 years ago, I wrote a book called The Joshua Generation from this book. I think we have it in the library. It's all inspiration. It was a powerful revelation about a generation crossing over. We're the crossing over generation, okay? So it begins by saying, God saying to Moses, to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now get up and go on. Okay, the thing I couldn't do with the last generation, because of the limitations of their behavior, I'm going to do in this generation. So here's what he said, some things. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Jesus quotes that verbatim and beautifully in Hebrews 13. Okay, awesome. So God says that these three things, okay? There will, look at me for a minute. God will never allow a person, authority, to stop your destiny. You don't understand. You don't understand. Nobody. When you're doing what God has you do, nobody can stop you. The second thing is that God said, just like you saw me use that previous generation, I'm going to use you. I'm the same God. Now, this is a big thing. Because the catalyst to God moving this generation is believing that what he's done in previous generations, he can do again. So there is a bridge of faith we build by believing the same God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? If he did it then, he'll do it now. Attaching to that. And then the third thing that God said to Joshua to build his faith, he said this, there'll never be a day when I'm not with you. I will never, no, leave you. So I just want to say, so I've lived now long enough to see all that stuff true. Okay? I've had people that their mission was to destroy me. Legally, in the media, in other realms. Real enemies. And I had no ability to fight them. And 20 years ago, it looked like they would win. I said, God, I'm yours. I fall into your arms of mercy. And he wouldn't let man prevail over his purpose in my life. See, you can't let go of what God's promised to do in your life. God will never allow a human being to have power over your destiny. Okay? The second thing is that God, we have to, before we do the greater works of Christ, let's just do the works. Let's believe to replicate the historical works of Christ through 2,000 years of Christendom, written in the book of Acts, given to us the promise of Christ. Let's do them. Let's do them boldly. Come on, a guy sitting in the back row of the church. I did 14 services, whatever it was. And I called them out. I said, sir, you're addicted to drugs. You have a slip disc. You have four things wrong with your back. Are these four things wrong? He goes, yeah. All right, he said, have you done drugs today? Yeah. I said, right now, God is healing you. He starts going in the back row. I said, bend over. He starts moving. I said, move it around. So my last night there, so I was one of the service. Last night, came around to me. Pastor, it's my girlfriend. Pray for her. I want her to get the same stuff you got me. It was so awesome. I said, Lord, zap her. Give her everything. God, we want to have a faith that is so expectant, we never miss what God wants to do in a moment because we've been in agreement with him about his care for people. Okay, so, and then lastly, knowing. So we went through this avalanche of difficulty. And so I asked God to speak to me prophetically through my friend. So I started getting a prophetic word. It was the same word. I got it like 15 times in like 6 months. And so it went like this. So, Pastor, God woke me up and gave me a word for you. Oh, thank God. What was it? Was it a plan to get out of this mess? No, here's the word. The Lord said, he's with you. I said, yeah. Anything else? What about the lawyers? What about... He just told me he's with you. Oh, good. So I kept... It was like a comedy routine. I go somewhere. I say, hey, sir. No, hey, the guy in the back row. The Lord says he's with you. I said, I know. Probably sitting right here. He's with me. So it took me... I had to work my mind around it. I finally got it. Here's what I finally got. Look, 6 months of this. I finally got it. If God's with me, nothing's going to happen to me. Nothing's going to happen to my kids. Nothing's going to happen to I was with a bunch of my kids. My children survived unbelievable pressures. They turned out to be great adults, all loving God, wonderful people, because God was with us. Not because I was a great parent. It's because God was with us. And here's what I found out when I wrote my country album. When we give way to discouragement, it's as if we're saying we don't believe God's with us. You know, because sometimes we're trying to measure the value of God's presence by the reality of our circumstances. And sometimes they just don't jive. So I finally got it. God's with me. God's with me. And I promise you now, just this week, the signs and wonders I saw God do, just unbelievable stuff, couldn't have happened if I didn't believe God was with me, if I caved into discouragement. So someday, I'm going to preach this in a couple of weeks, someday, maybe 10 years from now, maybe 5 years from now, maybe only 10 months from now, someone in your future is going to look in your eyes and say, thank you for not giving up when things were really tough. Because what you've done to my life now, what God's used you to bring to my life now has changed me. That's awaiting in your futures, that, those kinds of accounts. Okay, so here's my message. We're going to go home. Verse 6. Be strong and have a good courage. Y'all with me? It's time to make the church strong again. Okay, that was a political reference. No one got it. Pastor, what are we doing? We're making the church strong again, okay? Be strong. Like a father talking to his son, Joshua. Joshua, you be strong, son. You be courageous. Well, I'm with you. I'm backing you up. Just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. You be strong. You be strong. So what is the antidote? One of the antidotes to discouragement is courage. God giving us a boldness, a brave heart that endures difficult times and allows God to fulfill his promise. If you can just get through this season, on the other side, something glorious is waiting for you. He said, be strong and courageous, for this people you will divide an inheritance, which I promised them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law that I gave Moses, my servant. Don't turn to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. He said, I'm going to keep you from getting discouraged. Just speak my word all the time. But you shall meditate day and night on my words, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Ah. God says, I want you to succeed. Here's the tools. Here's my word. Here's my presence. Here's my spirit. Here's my courage. Now go get them. Have I commanded you? I've commanded you to be strong. To be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. So it happens in the last verse of the chapter. Four times in one chapter, Joshua is told at the beginning of his public leadership, his public ministry, his public destiny as the leader of Israel, four times the word of God to him was be strong. I've got a word for you tonight. Be strong. Be courageous. The Holy Spirit inside of you is a roaring lion. You're going to make it through whatever you're going through. There's bravery inside of you. There's courage inside of you. There's strength inside of you. And God's Spirit will enable you to make it through whatever you're going through. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I am just every day amazed at what you do, how you do it, how you love, how you lift people, how you deliver, how you save them, how you transform them. And these moments come just like that sudden rain last night. Just rain on this church tonight. Rain on hearts that have been dry and hurting and weary. Rain on minds that feel overrun and anxious about the things that have happened or are currently happening. Just rain a rest on them. Let them know that you're with them. You're never going to leave them. That no person has the power to take from them what you've given them. That just like you were with other generations, as a faithful friend, a faithful God, you're faithful in this moment. You're faithful for with this generation. Thank you, God. Thank you, loving God. And I pray right now, God, that you would liberate our hearts. So let's just do this. We're just going to take advantage and act on God's word. And if you've been fighting discouragement in any form, it doesn't matter how long or short it's been, let's kill it tonight, okay? Let's kill it with the finished work of the cross, with the courage God gives us as his people, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with the living, transforming power of the Word of God. Let's kill it. If you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I've been fighting discouragement, but I just want you to stand up. We're going to pray together. I promise you, God, is the soul service is about you, and he's going to help you. He's going to set you free. If you know someone that's really battling discouragement, just get the CD. If you can't afford the CD, just tell them Pastor said to give it to you. Just send them to people. We'll put this on next week's podcast for free on our internet. But don't let anybody you know stay in the prison of hopelessness one day longer than they have to. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your grace. Thank you, God, for deliverance and freedom for my friends right now in this room. You know them. You know every aspect and detail of their story. There's nothing you miss. You love them with a love that is so powerful, unconditional, unrelenting. And I pray, Holy Spirit, now as we look to you, that you would lift off of these men and women and take out of their life, just like the venom of serpents was extracted by the brazen serpent being lifted up. Take out of us the poisonous lies of the enemy and touch our sisters and brothers right now in Jesus' name. So just keep your hands raised. Keep loving. God, thank you, thank you, thank you that what you're doing, you know what you're doing. You're heart surgery right now on us. Thank you, God. There's not quite enough, but you guys that are standing, just keep standing. Just say this with me. Would you say this with me? Heavenly Father, I am yours entirely. I surrender my life to you again. Tonight, I give you my pain. I give you the pressures and anxieties I've been carrying. I give you the problems. And I give you the thing that's trying to discourage me. I cast my care to you, Jesus, because you care for me. And I receive, come on, say, I receive your rest, your healing, your strength, your courage, your freedom, your deliverance, in the name of Jesus. Now, just keep worshiping the Lord and standing there. If you're around someone standing, let's just begin to pray for each other. There's too many people for me to pray over all at once. Thank you, God, for freedom. Thank you, God, for freedom. In the name of Jesus, I declare, God, your life, your love. I saw two miracles on the way to your house, Bill. I saw the Lord said, I got it all under control. I'm lining up stuff for you. Bigger. In fact, these last 6, 7, or 8 months are disappearing. These last 5 or 6 months, so many good things happening all at once. Thank you, God, for helping my friend in Christ's name. Come on, you're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good in Jesus' name. You're doing good. God, thank you for freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, there's some folks that aren't being prayed for. So if anybody's around you, just help me and just touch someone on the shoulder. I don't want anybody to feel like they're standing up alone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, do a miracle thing. Almost overnight, everything's going to change. I'm unplugging your mind from memories. I'm unplugging your mind from experiences. I'm exploding your mind from traumas. And it's true, things couldn't have gone much worse, but I want you to hear what I'm saying to you tonight, son. Things couldn't go much better than how I'm going to make them. I'm going to blow your mind by the turnaround, the breakthrough, the recovery, the healing and restoration. Ah, thank you, God. A new season has begun. In Christ's name, a new season. Doing good. Keep praying for each other. Thank you, Lord. I heard the Lord say, I'm reversing the momentum of events and circumstances. And it began as one, then it was two, three, now it's been like four people. And everybody's kind of looking to you. But the Lord said, I'm with you. And I'm about to pour out my spirit on your whole family. I'm about to do miracles for you. And you're going to see my faithfulness. And you're going to be laughing before this year's over with joy. Laughing for joy. Everything's changed for you. Everything's changed for you. I broke the chains off of you. I broke the chains of shame and pain. I broke the chains of condemnation. I broke the chains of control, manipulation. I delivered your body. I delivered your blood. I delivered your life from the grip of the enemy. I'm delivering your heart the same way. You will not be captive to those things, those seasons of pain. You will not be captive to the slavery of the enemy one moment longer. God says, you're going to laugh for joy because everything, I'm going to use you to bring people out of the thing the devil tried to keep you in. And you're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Your hand upon my brother and just bless him, God, in Christ's name. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing, the Lord says. It's happening slow, but I'm rebuilding everything. I'm reconstructing everything. I'm renewing everything. Just give me chance, son. We're doing good together. Father and son, construction crew, we're building something. Let me build it. Let me finish it. Let me accomplish it, says the Lord, because it's going to bless so many lives. God, thank you for what you're doing. And Jesus, keep praying, everybody. We're doing good.
Our God is strong in us. Our God is strong in us.
I saw the Lord lift up his foot, crush a serpent. It's been unusual, hard to describe some of the things that have happened. Definitely been a demonic tinge to some of the things. But I heard the Lord say, I've rebuked the enemy. I've rebuked him from your life and your house. I've rebuked him from your future. I've rebuked him from your present. You're going to see things change. You're going to see a miracle happen. Ah, this whole thing has been about what God's doing through you. He's so proud of how far you've come. He's so proud of how much you've done. He's so proud of how much you've given. Now watch what he gives to you. God, thank you for what you're doing in this season. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You're doing good, everybody. Doing good. Keep worshiping, Lord, everybody. Thank you, God.
Our God is strong in us. Our God is strong in us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our God is strong in us. His love is over.
Every field that you've planted and watered in, I'm going to bless. He said, God, I'm just uncertain of all these things, what they mean. But the Lord said, I'm releasing a harvest. It's going to happen in your home. It's going to happen in your family. It's going to happen in your ministry. Even the visions I gave you. So I saw you come into a building. It was like a media ministry. I'm going to blow your mind by what I do. Don't worry about what hasn't happened. Trust me. Trust me. Because things are going to happen. I'm putting it together and I'm giving you the harvest I promised you. The seeds are growing. The seeds are growing. God, thank you in Jesus' name. You're doing good, everybody. Our God is strong in us. You're doing beautiful.
Keep... Our God is strong in us. His love has overcome.
Who over here needs a miracle in your liver? You need a miracle in your liver organ. Wave your hand to me. You have a disease or some dysfunction in your liver. yet, just let me know. We're gonna believe God for a new liver. Okay. Is it you? Thank you. So everything. So I got a great thing. So it's been like a 5 or 6 year thing. Everything the doctors have said to you about the unavoidable consequence or conclusion of this thing, I heard God laughing at. So the moment I touch you, I lose a creative miracle. It's your liver. I command death to leave your blood. I command disease to leave your body. I lose a creative. There it comes. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the power of God to you, precious sister. Now I declare you will live, not die, and you will fulfill the plan of God. So as I'm touching you, God's touching a grandson. God's touching not a runaway, but a backslidden one. And many things are about to happen, one after another. God, thank you. Lighting things up for her in a great way, in Christ's name. Amen, amen. Doing good, doing good.
Our God is strong.
Thank you, Jesus. Doing good, everybody. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Sing it, Pastor Derek.
His love is over.
Come on.
He is alive in us.
He is the risen one.
The
same power.
Same power that raised him.
It's the power that lives in us.
It's the power that lives.
Come on, our God.
Our God is strong in us. Our God is strong in us.
Now, listen, I want you to say these four things, okay? 31 years ago, I began as a 27-year-old pastor in the city, and all the pastors said, summertime is horrible. People will be gone. Don't expect much to happen. And the Lord spoke to me that same week, and he said, son, it doesn't have to be that way. If you let me, I'll make your summer a summer of miracles. So everybody say, this is my summer of miracles. Okay? Say it again with some force. This is my summer of miracles. Number two, 2 weeks ago on this night, Wednesday night, God spoke to me after I just returned from Australia. And he said to me, a new season has begun for my people. Tell them, listen to me, tell them to declare it before they see it. Okay? So everybody say, a new season has begun for me. Say, it's a new season for my family. It's a new season for my life. Okay, number three, say this, in Jesus' name, I'm gonna finish the race God assigned my life. I'm not gonna quit. I'm not gonna be discouraged. And the fourth thing is this, often in life is this, you recognize when the devil's messing around with you. Okay, you recognize him and you go to war. Because it's not just all emotions, it is demonic activity. And much of people's discouragement has an embedded demonic presence in it. So you have to tell the devil, you have to rebuke him. So if he's been planning, there are two people here tonight, I'm not even gonna call you forward, but you've been fighting suicidal thoughts. We're just gonna crush those right now, okay? So just say this out loud. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind and life, and I rebuke the activity of the devil. In the name of Jesus, I bind the devil, and I declare my life belongs to God, and no weapon formed against me can prosper in Jesus' name. I'll give God a shout of praise, knowing that's true. Come on, it's true. Come on, hallelujah! Come on, come on, our God is strong in us. Come on, declare it. Our God is strong
in us. He is the risen one. Same power that raised him.
It's the power that lives in us.
It's the power that lives in us. Our God is strong.
Talking to a man this week who was suicidal. We were talking to him on the phone, kind of trying to talk him off the cliff or off the edge. Who is that? You were talking to someone this week. They expressed some suicidal thoughts to you. Because we're just going to speak. I'm going to prophesy that person right now. Wave your hand at me. I know it's here. Okay. Okay. So I declare over you, precious sister, that the devil cannot have this man. He cannot have his life, his mind, his thoughts one day longer. That you carried him in your heart to this meeting. And I declare to you in Jesus' name, I'm going to lay my hands on you. The moment I touch you, God touches him. I command the assignment against his life to be broken. I bind self-destruction and suicide. I loosen his... It's not salvation. I just call him back to Christ where he needs to be, back to Jesus, back to freedom. And the two things that happened, okay, the two things that happened that crippled him emotionally and caused this reaction, God's going to heal. But the moment God touched him tonight in Jesus' name, I loosen your power. Now, God, do a miracle in this man. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, the Lord, what's your name, honey? Marcella. You know, the Lord, he loves you so much. He's so proud of you. You've come so far. You're a trophy of grace. And here's what the Lord wants you to know. The reason why these people are starting to come back in your life is Jesus is making you a fisherman. And you're going to bring these people to Jesus, one after another, one after another, many, many, many of them. It's just beginning. Watch what happens in this young man's life. Come on, someone, prayer team, would you all join me down front? Come on, someone, give God praise tonight.
Our God is strong in us. His love has overcome.
Prayer team, would you join me at the altar, please?
He is alive.
He is the risen one.
He is the risen one.
The same power.
Same power that raised him up is the power that lives in us. Our God is strong in us. Our God is strong in us.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I need to let you go. And bring someone. I have a prophetic illustrated sermon for Sunday. Which means who knows what's going to happen. But I actually got it by a dream. So God's really been speaking to me in a cool way in this summer. So I can't wait for it. And it's going to be powerful. Because we're going to resurrect some dead things on Sunday. And both in our life and our world, in this generation, it's going to be incredible. Before we go home tonight, thank you for coming tonight. You guys are awesome. Thank you for the way you love Jesus. There's just not too many places like this. And I pray tonight that anyone here that has never received the saving grace of Jesus, that you wouldn't go home without letting us talk and pray with you. It's not an accident you're here. Or if you've been away from God, man, just plug in tonight. Plug into the God who's been reaching out to you all. Servants, if you want prayer, if you need a physical healing, want more prayer, or anybody that feels like you still want some more prayer about discouragement or those things, please don't rush out. Whenever you kind of feel like the Holy Spirit's not done with you, then don't go home. We always want to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to touch people's lives. That's why we have the prayer team here. I'm sorry I've gone a little long tonight, but God did some great things. So anyone that wants prayer, would you come forward? The rest of you, bring someone to church with you Sunday. It's going to be an awesome time. I love you're an awesome church. High five someone. Tell them Jesus loves them. Have a great rest of your week. God bless you. Anyone wanting prayer, come on down, join us.